Today, the inconvenient truth about the WPI. Good news. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where that is post covering finance and property news. Well, Australia's annual wage growth remained elevated last quarter. That underscored a tight labour market and persistently weak productivity, and it does suggest that inflationary pressures will take time to cool. And that'll be a challenge for policymakers like the Reserve Bank, because it means an interest rate cut in the near term remains unlikely. Now, in addition, wages growth is nowhere near enough to make up for the huge decline in real wages over the past 5 years. And by the way, the gap in wage growth between the private and public sectors expanded in the September quarter. So we're going to look at this in some detail today. Before I start, though, just a quick reminder, tomorrow I'm running a special live show at 8 p.m. Sydney, when Robbie Barwick from the Citizens Party is going to come on and talk about his recent study tour in China. I think this will be a really interesting conversation and perhaps be a counterbalance to the rather simplistic China bad, US good narrative that seems to be running around the place at the moment. Anyway, back to the wage price index. The wage price index advanced to an annual rate of 3.4% in the 3 months through to September. That matched economists' estimates. That's according to the ABS data, which came out on Wednesday. On a quarterly basis, wages overall grew 0.8%. Now, it's important to understand the wage price index measures the average change to Australian wages and salaries every quarter. To do that, it tracks a fixed basket of jobs across a wide range of industries in both the public and private sectors, but it doesn't include bonuses and it doesn't include wage growth that comes about from people getting promoted, switching to other occupations or better paid jobs, or even moving to other regions. So it's pretty myopic, really. The data comes as the Reserve Bank remains cautious and data dependent after lowering borrowing costs 3 times this year to 3.6%. That's, of course, the lowest annual level since April 2023. So its focus is now shifting to the likely scope of any further reductions given a still tight labour market and poor productivity growth. The RBA actually upgraded its forecast for wages growth in November due to more significant capacity pressures in the economy. Wages in the private sector grew just 3.2%, but it was outpaced by public sector growth of 3.8%. For the third consecutive quarter. Both federal and state governments seem unwilling to pursue broad public sector wage discipline that is adding to budgetary strains and likely adding to pricing pressures across the non-market sector, said BetaShares chief economist David Bassanet. The number of Australians employed in the public sector across states and federal governments rose 3.3% to 2.6 million in June, with the wage bill rising to $250 billion in the year 2024 to 2025. ANZ Chief Executive Nuno Motos was asked at a parliamentary hearing in Canberra on Wednesday if government spending had contributed to inflation. More spending by definition drives demand, he said. I'm talking about public spending, private spending, any kind of spending by definition pressures the demand curve. I would say private spending is typically more productive. We know that, but we also know that so-called public spending is very important. Anyway, Jim Chalmers said that the release was an encouraging outcome. This is now the longest period of consecutive annual real wages growth in almost a decade, he said. The private sector recovery that we've been planning and preparing for is taking place, and it's clear that private demand has been the key driver of growth for 3 consecutive quarters. Now, in the release from the Ministers of the Employment and Workplace Relations portfolio, they go to town saying new data released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics shows that annual real wages have now grown for 8 consecutive quarters. This is now the longest period of consecutive annual real wage growth in almost a decade. This is an encouraging outcome that shows our policies are delivering higher wages for workers and paying off for hardworking Australians. Real wages were going backwards before we came to office. They're growing under Labor, and we see that again in these figures. Our economic plan is designed to help Australians earn more, keep more of what they earn, and retire with more. And today's data shows we continue to make meaningful progress in the economy. And later in the release, they said, decent wages growth is not accidental. It's a deliberate strategy. This is government, just like wage suppression was a deliberate strategy of our predecessors. And we know there's more to do because Australians are still under pressure and the global economy is uncertain and unpredictable. Now, there's a load of spin here, of course, as you might expect, as overall real wages are still languishing near 2011 levels. There's a good article in The Conversation that gets to the heart of the issue. Labour costs aren't directly included in the CPI, but the Reserve Bank does keep a close eye on wage growth because higher wages can lead to higher costs for employers and therefore create inflation. But productivity growth, the continued improvement in our ability to produce more output from the same inputs, reduces labour costs relative to the amount of income a business can generate. Now, here's a chart that shows over the past three decades, labour costs have fallen because productivity growth has been stronger than wages growth. The uptick in labour costs since 2023 shows that wages growth has been stronger than productivity growth for the past 2 years. Actually, if you account for inflation, Australians' wages have roughly have the same purchasing power now as they did back in 2011, when the iPhone 4 was state of the art and the Donald Trump presidency was a mere thought bubble. The post-COVID decline in real wages is by far the largest in recent history, but it's not the only one. In the year 2000, when the goods and services tax was introduced in Australia, a jump of almost 4% in the CPI led to a steep dip in real wages, which took about 4 years to unwind. And a horror stretch starting in 2020 saw an entire decade of real wage growth reversed in just 3 years. So today's results consolidates a cautious return to real wages growth, but we will need to wait until the gross domestic product figures comes out next month to see whether the growth is supported by productivity gains. And while workers will welcome growth in real wages, we must be careful about what we wish for. When wages growth is not supported by productivity growth, employers will often reduce costs by laying off workers. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is currently 4.3%. That's a low level historically, but it is trending upwards. Ongoing modest wages growth and low unemployment will help workers win back their lost decade. Now, it's worth recalling here that the RBA has warned that slowing productivity growth has contributed to labour cost pressures. In the minutes from the RBA's meeting from November the 4th, the board noted growth in unit labour costs, the average labour cost of producing one unit of output, was stronger than expected, and the RBA considers unit labour costs to be a better indicator of cost pressures because it accounts for productivity growth. In the year to June 2025, unit labour costs grew by 5%. That's higher than the 1.7% average in the decade before the pandemic. RBA Governor Michelle Bullock said they were still rising quite quickly. Elevated unit labour cost growth is consistent with more upward pressure flowing through from labour market tightness to firms' labour costs than is signalled by the wages alone, the RBA said in November. When wages grow faster than consumer prices, wage earners are able to get more bang for their buck. Until June 2020, this was the case over most of the past few decades. But when consumer prices grow faster than wages, even if wages are rising, consumer purchasing power goes backwards. This has been the case from the middle of 2020 until very recently. Now, if we look at the detail, the ABS said annual wage growth in the September quarter of 2025 was 3.4%. Annual wage growth remained steady compared to the June quarter 2025, but was slightly lower than this time last year. The quarterly growth of 0.8% was in line with the June quarter 2025 and September quarter 2024. Seasonally adjusted, private sector wages grew 0.7% for the quarter, while public sector wages rose 0.9%. Annual public sector wages growth was 3.8% in the year to September, slightly up compared to 3.7% at the same time last year. On a quarterly and annual basis, public sector wages grew at a faster pace than the private sector for the third consecutive quarter. By level of government, state government increased its contribution to public sector wages this quarter. The contribution made reflects both the size of the level of government, overall number of employees, and the total wage expenditure, and the size of any wage changes that occurred. State government pay rises contributed 82% of public sector wage growth in the quarter, the ABS said. Private sector wages grew 3.2% over the year to September 2025. That was lower than the 3.5% growth recorded in the September 2024 period. This September quarter, 47% of private sector jobs saw a change in their wages, compared to 49% in the same quarter last year, the ABS said. Pay increases were highest in the public administration, safety and utilities industries, and they were lowest in financial accommodation and food services. And looking at the original state and territory estimates, Western Australia recorded the highest quarter growth at 1.5%, while Tasmania recorded the lowest quarter growth at 1.1%. And for the year, Western Australia recorded the highest annual growth at 4%, the Northern Territory recorded the lowest annual growth at 3%, and New South Wales and Victoria were at 3.3% in original terms, which of course is, well, a bit below inflation levels at the moment. The average size of hourly wage changes was also lower in September 2025 in the quarter, up 3.6%, compared to the same period in 2024 when they were 3.9%. And September quarterly wage growth included the Fair Wage Commission annual wage review decision of 3.5% increase paid for 1 July 2025. This was lower than the 3.75% awarded in 2024. So, until productivity improves, this long grind of real income erosion is likely to continue ahead, despite the government spin and the use of taxpayer funds to try to prop things up. The real devil in the detail here, though, is that while the emerging AI tools and systems have the potential to improve productivity ahead, as, for example, using tech to inspect X-ray images for cancer in hospitals rather than trained doctors, it might also spell a reduction in jobs. And those who are immune from the earlier waves of automation, like lawyers and accountants, this time around might get caught in the AI revolution, alongside well-paid consultants and coders in the IT industry. So all up, I'm not sure the myopic WPI tells us much at all. And certainly from our household surveys, cash flow pressures are hardly easing for many, despite the spruiked WPI good news, which is indeed an inconvenient truth. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.